All right, so what do you think about how I clean my room?
Dude, as I always say, if you don't clean up your room, you got how are you gonna clean up your life? It goes back to that. So you did an amazing job. So going forward, I have hope in you.
I just think it's if it's your mess, then you're fine with it. I mean, I've always kept a messy room, but like I'll clean up other areas because I want that to look better. But like my area.
Well, do you have like a corner where you like have a shrine or something that you keep clean? Like, do you worship something?
No, I mean, when I lived in the house by myself, like my room would be a disaster. But like when I would have people over, like
a little company. Ooh.
When I'd have people
over, put out the show, nice
you,
little spread.
You specifically, I would want the house to look perfect.
So for
like,
me?
Yeah. Aww. I mean, like, you know,
you're adorable.
I think if you keep the presentation area fine,
sure,
but your area is what you want it to be, I don't think it's a reflection on you. I think it's I don't know.
Who's to say it's not a reflection on your subconscious? That your subconscious is a little bit of a mess right now. It's only you there. Only you could see it, and that's your inner space that you're talking about. So who's to say that won't translate to real life? Anyway, let's get into some real shit.
Okay. I know you see me looking gorgeous in every portrait. I got the 89 Firebird, guns like wired up. Before I do business, I wanna know the buyer's worth. Fast forward 98, mark with wire shirt. I eat dessert while your bitch flirt. Shit work to a... Welcome back to the O Show.
So wait, before you, the welcome, how's that work with... Yeah, I know you have the intro, it's gonna be... Da-da-da-da-da, it's gonna be Action Bronson blaring. Now, what made you pick that?
I think it's a fun intro, and I...
Dude, I respect it. I was... First episode, I would say, I'd hate to steal this, but I was an award-winning listener, and I was there for you. Gave you my critique. Hopefully, I'm not one of the ones that mess with you too hard. You're like, fuck this kid. Why is he going so hard?
No, I appreciated... I said this early on. I appreciated a lot of critique, but, like, I as far as the intro music, it's, you know, it's a good,
yeah,
fun...
Yeah,
it's intro.
Yeah, I gotcha. And who doesn't love Bronson? I mean, if you actually like listen to the guy enough,
even if
like
you don't know Bronson,
you're feeling good about the rest
of
the podcast.
I think
sets
that
the tone.
Yeah, because I think everybody knows that beat. You know.
Okay. By the way, audience listening, I'm taking the over at 4 beers for Owen today. That was the first one, so keep listening, you know, keep track. I'm taking the over. So if any side bets, text me now. I mean, I don't think it's going to work that way because it airs later, but just saying.
It's also 6 a.m.
It's also 6 a.m., but hey, there's a lot of room to run here. I mean,
speaking of Action Bronson, I recently shaved my beard, and then right after he shaved his beard, and then Bryce Harper shaved his beard, so I think that.
So do you think
I
it's like a trickle down effect from your beard?
I think I started a fire of shaving, and I think I'm ending the big beard is a good look stigma on all of men. So men, if you have a big beard and you just keep it because you think that women will like it, Bryce Harper, Action Bronson, Owen Finnegan, say just get rid of it if you don't like it. It's fine.
So would you attribute their beard cutting to trickle-down beard affinonomics, or is it a direct source? I'm sure everybody has eyes on you. You're a bigger celebrity than either of those two. I mean, this podcast has to be bigger than the MLB and whatever Action Bronson does. I mean,
that's what I thought.
That's what I was thinking. That's my train of thought.
Well, I mean, as you know, since we're talking about economics, I should introduce our guest here, my roommate, Anthony, who...
Just know me as roommate Anthony.
Roommate Anthony.
Grew up on the North Fork, New Suffolk, New York. You know me, you don't, bud.
Right.
No last names here.
Anthony is a, he thinks he knows a lot about the stock market, he thinks he knows a lot about real estate, he thinks he knows a lot about money, and every time he tries to explain it to me, I fall asleep. So Anthony, would you like to bore the crowd?
Absolutely not.
Telling
I don't know
what
you're talking
you
about. I'm a line shift manager at Denny's. I don't know where you got that from, so.
That's what you told me.
Oh, really? Huh. Interesting. But no, I will not bore the crowd with any talk of, you know, work or the stock market, per se, so.
But where your and my friendship began was in elementary school at Our Lady of Mercy.
R.I.P. by the way. I drove by it yesterday. I was back home because I had this week off, and honestly, I shed a little tear. I mean, I was like, this is where it all happened. This is where little baby Tone was born.
I mean, for the Country Club East kids who drove by that every day and laughed and then went to religion class there that same night, you understand that that was a very important place for your boy and for my guest here.
Oh, absolutely.
And then for Tyler Reeve later on as he threw parties there.
Tyler Reeve actually, I heard, bought a nice plot of land there and made it as his for a little bit. I think it was like a lease back type deal where he leased it out.
I think he said it was his.
He made the money back on the cover charge though. Like, I think it was like a 3 can of Natty Light type deal, but he definitely made his money back.
I mean, according to him, he owned the land. But
now they're building condos back there.
Within that building and that one hallway, that single hallway.
CCD kids, you know that always, so don't act like you don't.
We became friends. Well, first we were not friends.
Yeah, because you decked my sister, who was wearing a back brace at the time, just leveled her.
I was playing chase as
kids, you were chasing a girl
as kids do in chase? Fourth grade. Playing chase.
Never chasing? Heard of the game chase.
Playing or what do you
looked play, like you're chasing? Going after a chick.
Yeah, when you're younger,
that chick like. In the eyes of a fifth grader, not speaking now because I would never judge a fifth grader.
It was disgusting. It was fourth at the time.
Fourth grade, whatever. Same difference. All I know is fourth grade Anthony wasn't fond of this chick, and Owen was chasing her.
I was in love, and just let that be known. Chasing because that's what you did. That's how you showed your affection.
You chased them.
You chased the girl at the on the recess field, and in the act of chasing, I ran into a crowd and. Truck-sticked Anthony's lovely sister.
Love her. Love my sister.
Who, you know, to this day I love dearly, and I apologize greatly for what I did to you, but that was, thanks to your sister, that was how we met.
Sure. And let's just go a little forward in that story to make it not sound like I'm such a hardo. But,
Anthony threatened to kill me over an accidental bump and
kill. Maybe make friends. Maybe there's some synonymous terms there that you got
didn't,
lost
didn't,
in.
Didn't feel like an olive branch was extended.
I'm Mediterranean. I got olive oil just flown off me. So
and at that point, you got a nice chunk. At that point, like, I didn't feel that.
Where did it? I remember I cursed you out. You know, I used like crap and what the hell, like all the big ones at Catholic school, but.
But I was a newbie to the
school. You were new. I remember. I walked into fourth grade. You had your head down. And I was like, "Who is this fucking Melvin? Like, what's wrong with this kid? Why is he so sad?"
Because I had just left the great Cutchog East, where most of my listeners probably came from, and it was a somber day for me that first day. But yeah, that's what ended up happening on that first day. I crashed into Anthony's.
And then you told on me to Mrs. Michaels, who had to be. The most, it's a good word to put it. She was a okay teacher. I wouldn't say she was the best, but she definitely would try her best to train you out if you got out of line. And I was always the first kid there because my mom was like a housewife who was a teacher's aide for the pre-K. Like, you know, she wanted to be there for her children, so she actually worked in the school. Maybe a little much, who's to say? Love my mom.
But as a 9-year-old who's... life was threatened on my first day of school.
So
I naturally told on Anthony.
Yeah, he told me. And then I walk in the next day because I was always the first one there. Like, I mean, that's I like being the first one to places. That's kind of get there early kind of mentality. So I was there at school and the teacher pulled me aside. And now I had a good reputation from good old third grade. And I was, you know, a behaved student, to say the least, at least in the classroom. And she got mad at me, the teacher. It wasn't a good start for her old tone. So I wouldn't really mess that up for me.
I actually ended up winning the suit. The suit, yeah. With
Anthony
the
Fidelli versus Our Lady of Mercy, the state of Our Lady of Mercy.
The first ever Fidelli versus Finnegan battle. I ended up winning in the eyes of the law because I proclaimed truthfully that it was an accident.
So what are you now? 1 in 305 since that one.
Fidelli has won most of the members.
Our friendship from there actually got born when Owen, same scenario, we were coming down the hill from recess, and he let out a fart that literally just shook the world. It was the first small tremor on the North Fork of Long Island in God knows when, but Everybody heard it. Fart heard around the world, and I laughed my little tushy off, and it was amazing. And that's why I knew you were a skilled flatulent man, and I was like, I like this guy. I was wrong. I messed up.
But what that led to, which what I meant to bring up, was the true root of our friendship, which is early, mid, late, pretty much the entire 2000s hip-hop scene.
Oh my goodness. I loved it.
It's specifically the southern hip-hop scene.
What other hip-hop scene was there? Nas and Jay-Z?
Not Nas and Jay-Z. Nas and Jay-Z were the northeastern, but I mean the southern.
I'm saying, what else was there besides the southern?
At that point, it was
everything.
At that point in 2005, 2006, you had, you know, Kanye first coming up. We never really understood Kanye.
We're actually sitting in front of a picture, a giant blow up of Ye, as he likes to call himself, just praising, I believe, himself. But
you know, but I mean, at this point, we understand Kanye so much more than we did then, but yeah. Like at that point it was,
we touched the sky.
It was you know, very exciting beats and lyrics that were things we had never heard before.
Profanity that just
profanity and just over the top,
just laced tirades of misogynistic things, you know, things that average 9-year-old wasn't exposed to until those moments of, you know, popping in the iPod shuffle nano, whatever you had. Right. And hearing what southern hip hop was,
and then it was hanging out at each other's houses and going on MTV and seeing the
Sucker Free Countdown,
and the We Taking Over video for the first time.
We Taking Over
with, you know, We Taking Over produced and hosted by DJ Khaled, T.I., Birdman, Lil Wayne, Fat Joe, Rick Ross. Those names were fundamental to
we went to Catholic school to learn about holiness, but holy in our eyes back then was to be, you know, with the whole Lil Wayne crew, to be Birdman, to be Lil Wayne, to be Scott Storch. I mean, that was
Scott Storch, number one producer.
Went broke, not the number one finance dude, but he definitely a great producer. That man on the piano is just electric.
And tonight we went down memory lane a little bit with
buddies. We were just on his balcony, and we were going back and forth, you know, just playing the classics. We're like, oh shit! What was your top songs of the night that we listened to?
I think "Money in the Bank," "Little Scrap."
Oh, that's a
and
classic.
"Young Buck." "Snap Your Fingers" was one that you brought up.
I tried to play the crowd, so I played like the stuff that was mainstream on the radio. Like,
right.
You went a little deeper than I did, but I got it. I loved it.
I mean, you go to Birdman 5-Star Stunner album, the Birdman Lil Wayne collab album, like Father Like Son, any DJ Khaled album that came out in those years, that was a soundtrack to pretty much anybody growing up at that point. You know, I'm So Hood. And
who would have guessed Blink 182, Vineyard Vines, Faze Dohen has such a deep understanding of southern hip hop from the early 2000s? Who would have guessed this?
I mean, look, my musical tastes went through a lot of phases. The pop punk was always a part of it. You know, Green Day and Blink were always
Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy.
They were always underlying there, but the headliners at that point in our life were Lil Wayne, Birdman, Ricky Rosé, I mean, even Lil Jon, Twista, Trick Daddy, all those guys who had such an impact on rap music, because, you know, without those guys. And T.I. is such an influential
underrated
figure.
Underrated, too. Very underrated. I feel like he's been in
very
some
Very influential
heat.
Figure in today's rap, even, you know, with...
He produces a lot.
Those ATL guys are, I mean, without what we heard 10 years ago, we wouldn't have the club bangers, the bar bangers that all you guys listen to now. It's very important to appreciate where we came from in terms of rap. And those guys... And Lil Wayne especially, because I think Lil Wayne was
God.
The most talented.
The admiration I had for him.
I mean, the Carter 1 and 2 were incredible. The Carter 3, incredible.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness. What an album that was.
Lil Wayne had a run between his albums and mixtapes that in rap, you know, I don't know if there's anything better than it, you know, than that first. I mean, you could say Kanye's discography is brilliant, which it is, but Lil Wayne's tracks that came from those mixtapes and the albums are just, I mean, untouchable stuff.
Really, it was untouchable. I mean, it's weird to see how far... I mean, I'm not going to say how far rap has come, because that wouldn't be fair to say, because I honestly think those times were better. I mean, I don't know if that's just nostalgic, just feelings.
I think there's a little bit of that.
It's just so much different nowadays.
It's a lot different. I mean,
like, everything's seen under the public eye. If somebody says something that far out of line, you become the bad guy. The whole Twitter liberal media hates you. So I'm not trying to bring politics into this, but I mean, anybody on Twitter will jump on anything anybody says.
Right. So. I mean, those hits will never. I don't think those hits will ever go out of style.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, especially just the big ones. The I'm So Hood. Snap Your Fingers, you know,
of course.
All those ones who, you know, we all downloaded on our iPod shuffles and nanos very early on in the game. I just think anytime, you know, anybody who's in a bar today, you know, we taking over, like, you know, those songs come on, you know, that they take over the room. But none more for me. Then I actually didn't realize this until tonight.
That other people shared similar feelings?
No, I mean, song-wise, the song that really was, like, the best was Duffel Bag Boy.
Duffel Bag Boy, what a classic.
Duffel Bag Boy.
People don't realize that 2 Chainz isn't just the guy you've seen in the last 5 years. He's been around the business, and he's...
Play a Circle was, you know, running it, you know. They were kind of in between that... hip hop group phase of Outkast and UGK and the 3-6 Mafia, but Play a Circle was kind of in the middle of all that, and they never got their true shine. There was that one song, Duffel Bag Boy, and 2 Chainz rose from that. Lil Wayne's choruses on that were incredible.
Oh my goodness!
And that to me is one of the, like, most important songs of my upbringing. Yeah. Not that I am a duffel bag boy myself. I'm most certainly not.
I actually carry a duffel bag most places, usually full of items such as, you know, Oreos, essentials. But, you know.
But I mean.
No, I don't actually do that.
No, you don't. Do that.
Absolutely not.
If
I had 10 G's, I would run to the bank and deposit it, and probably, you know, go from there with it. I wouldn't be carrying around a duffel bag where I could easily get robbed. That's just silly.
But what would you invest 10 G's in right now? As give advice to the listeners, what would you, if all of our listeners woke up this morning with 10 G's in their hand, what should they go invest it in?
I mean, I'll go to good old Jim Cramer, the crazy man. He always says, if you have 10 grand, you got to put it in an index fund, SPY. I mean, it mimics the S&P 500. That's your best bet.
Can you dumb that down for my listeners who definitely don't know what that means?
It's a weighted index, which let's not get into that. Basically, invest in American companies, the top 500 companies. It's divvied up. It just mimics the index. I don't want to get into details. Look it up. Google Investopedia, SPY, index funds, mutual funds, whatever you want to call it. It'll give you some answers there.
There you go, OSHA listeners. When you wake up with your 10 grand, you're too dumb for Anthony.
I'm not saying you're too dumb, but just go to the right person.
But keeping it with...
Don't invest in Tesla either, because that dude's a fraud.
Keeping it
multi-level with, marketing, just basically selling energy drinks, that dude, to people. Same kind of guy.
Keeping it with the 2000s here, another integral part of our friendship was our mutual love of baseball.
Oh my goodness, that was, for those of you who know me, I mean, that was my entire upbringing was baseball. Got me everywhere I am today,
and
even though I never really got the chance to fully play college. I mean, I went to college to play ball. I ended up quitting because I had a kind of a tragic moment go on in my life at that time, but today, baseball has brought me places that I could never imagine in a million years where they would take me. So, whatever your knack is in life, your niche... utilize it in the future. If you feel like you're in a rough patch, utilize what you're best at and use it to your advantage. Network with it. Do whatever you could to better yourself from what you know and what you're best at. That's my advice to everybody. Love baseball.
But as for baseball.
As for baseball.
If you grew up a baseball fan and you're our age, you were inundated with the most glorious era.
Oh my god.
In baseball, which was
steroids are steroid so era. Cool, bro. Big old needles, Roger Clemens, but awesome.
I mean, fuck Roger Clemens, there's no reason that we wouldn't love baseball growing up because every time you turn on SportsCenter, it was an enormous home run by somebody.
God, I mean,
a pitcher who was far too fat throwing really fast.
Bartolo shouts.
I mean, it was just a glorious, glorious time to be a baseball fan, and it's what today's game is honestly missing. But I mean,
they're taking different routes, so they say, juicing the ball. They're saying the balls are different, and that's big today. I mean, you look at guys still getting caught that you couldn't even imagine. Robinson Cano, I mean, I knew it because he was on the New York Yankees in 09, and played out of his mind. He still does. But they're getting caught with masking agents now. And imagine the people who are getting caught using the right masking agents. I think it's still very, very prevalent in today's game, but who knows?
I think there are definitely, like anything, there are people that develop ways around it, but honestly, I mean, it's like gambling. It's like weed. Like, just legalize it. Legalize the fun part of life. If you don't use it, then you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. Yeah, that's really
what's your take on the baseballs? What do you think, though? Do you think that's a real thing, or?
I've heard that they've been tightening them up so people can see pitches better. I don't know much about the actual juicing of the balls.
I was listening to Keith Hernandez on a podcast, one of the best first baseman 86 Mets shout out of all time, and he sits in the booth with Ron Darling for the Mets SNY broadcast,
which I will say as a Phillies fan,
yeah, they're electric.
The SNY broadcast booth of Gary, Keith, and Ron is the best trio in baseball.
Much better than Michael Kay saying, "There it goes. See ya."
I think if Gary, Keith, and Ron were in the booth for the Mets 2015 World Series, I think that would have been a much different outcome.
I think so, too. I mean, Keith is just, he's an amazing dude. He talks about his cat,
and if,
Hockey.
And if Terry Collins grew up and took Matt Harvey out of that game.
Yeah. But back to the baseballs. Yeah, no, Keith was saying that what Ron Darling said. I think Ron Darling's like a Yale graduate, Ivy League dude, smart guy, say the least. He said that the seams, they're wrapping tighter, making it closer to the baseball. So seams that expand and are outside, like, you know, more, you could physically touch them on a baseball, they're going to come off the bat, not on a flat plane. But when you put the seams into the ball, it's not gonna have anything to grab or hold on to. So that ball is going to be hit that much further and that much harder every time. That was the argument.
And there's some aerodynamic
stuff. Yeah, it makes it more... Yeah, essentially. I mean, I'm no physicist by no means, but I thought it was an interesting point. But yeah, back to steroids. I mean, it changed the game for me. I mean, you look at some of the stats back then. I mean, I was looking. I mean, me and you. I mean, we'll be up at night if we have nothing going on the next day, just reading baseball stats. And I mean, we came across some interesting stuff. Who would you say are some of like your favorite? Want to do like a top five type deal?
I mean, I think the best.
You want to go one for one?
I think the best. What you want? I mean, the best players of the steroid era? Or,
yeah, like, sure. Players.
I mean, God, I put no research into this ahead of time. I should have, but...
I mean, I kind of looked at some stats that caught my eye.
I think that A-Rod is the most talented baseball player ever.
I don't think he needed steroids, to be honest with you. I really don't think he did.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I remember that there was an MVP... voting 1 year that he finished in sixth, where he had like 52 home runs, 140 something RBIs. He batted 30. You know.
That was 2002. He batted 357 homers, 142 RBIs,
and finished in sixth.
Yeah, that just is a testament onto what was going on back then. Imagine what stats were higher than sixth. That. I mean, you had Barry Bonds smacking balls, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Palmeiro. The craziest, I could go on.
The craziest, like. I think the funniest.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
The funniest steroid era stats are Barry Bonds' home runs.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, I have this. I wrote down some of the craziest stats.
And I mean, I think Barry Bonds is one of the best
all around. Before.
Talent, I think Barry Bonds is one of the best players ever.
No, I mean, but baseball IQ and awareness, that guy, OPS for the baseball non-listeners is a measure of on-base percentage, basically measures, literally as it sounds, how many times you're on base, plus your slugging percentage, which I believe is total bases divided by at-bats. Am I right on that? I think that sounds right, right? Total bases.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the impact of your at-bats.
So if you have, I mean, enumerated honor, if you have a higher number of bases, which you get four from a home run, that's the max. If you have the most home runs, you're, you know, by simple math, you're going to have a higher OPS.
And when you hear that guy's a slugger, that's what that comes from.
Nobody in the world ever had a 1.4, or even I don't think people even had a 1.3, and he did that four times in his career. And, I mean, he won MVP 4 years in a row, Barry Bonds. 73 homers, 137 ribeye steaks, like, .328 batting average. It's just, it's numbers that you'll never see ever again.
But the funniest
and
the
growing
funniest
up
part,
and falling in love with baseball at that time is what's
right.
Going to keep it so close to me for the rest of my life.
But
I mean,
what I was saying is the funniest stat.
Oh, the funniest stat.
Of the steroid era. Besides Brady Anderson.
I knew you were going to say Brady Anderson.
Brady Anderson, who hit like 4 or 5 home runs a year.
Then, what do you hit, like 50
then one year hit like 52.
Yeah.
And then never hit him anymore again.
Yeah.
Is Barry Bonds, who hit from 1999 to 2003. It goes 34 home runs, 49 home runs, 73 home runs, 46 home runs.
Oh, you're talking about Bonds right now?
45 home runs. Yeah, this is Bonds.
Well, like, yeah, no. Bonds,
I guess, like,
never.
2001 was, like, Bonds,
he
like.
Never. No, well, this is what happened. In 99, he had a horrific elbow injury. I don't think he was with the Giants just yet. Yeah, check me on that. I think he might have still been with the Padres. When did he come to the Giants?
He went to the Giants in 93.
Okay, so I'm.
But 99, he only played.
He was hurt. He
102
had
games.
Very
he
bad
had,
elbow
he
injury.
Had, yeah, he
I
didn't
remember.
Have as many. You know, his stats were definitely
then the next
less.
Year. Then the next year, he just went nuts in 2001. I think 2000.
Actually, now looking at that, he had.
Somebody came up to him and was like, hey, Barry, oh, we know how you get back on track. Stick one of these up your ass and see what happens.
I mean,
and
in 2001, he had 470. Exactly, in 2001, he had the 73 home run year, he had 476 at bats,
yeah.
Which led to 73 home runs. 99, the year he got hurt, he had 355 at bats, which was for 34 home runs. It was the least amount of hits he ever had in a season.
Yeah.
Except for his rookie year and for 2005, and he was suspended. His plate appearances, it's crazy. Like he was.
And his walks. I mean, this is why I'm saying
he
was such
walks.
A good
like,
player,
like,
and
people,
I'm stressing
didn't
OPS.
Want to pitch to him.
OBP is half of OPS, and to be on base, I think his OBP was almost, I think it was over 500 one season. That means you're on base every other at-bat. It's incredible. But to draw 200...
2001, 2002, 2003, 2004...
What was his OBP?
515,
yeah,
582...
over 500.
529, 2004, 609 on base percentage with an 812 slugging OPS 1422.
Oh my God. That is unreal. But
and these are stats that on baseball.
He
records,
won MVP 4 years in a row. That's
seven disgusting. Time seven time overall. Seven. I mean, this is a man who's not allowed in the Hall of Fame because he put some juice.
All
in his
I'm
ass.
Saying is, I take away the home runs. Look at the man's batting average, his OBP. I know he was intentionally walked probably a quarter of those times, But his baseball IQ and awareness to be able to see a pitch that well and know when to take and when to swing is, it's, you know, it's invaluable on a team. You don't get guys like that anymore. It's rare that you do. I mean, there's only a handful of players I can think of in today's game who I'm like, wow, that guy could draw a walk. Like the one guy that sticks out to me now is like
Curtis. I mean, over the entire career of which he didn't do steroids, his 162 game averages is 534 at bats with 159 hits, 33 doubles, 4 triples, 41 home runs, 108 RBIs. Like that's, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I
that's good. Out. Like that's really, out. Really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta cut out in like 5 minutes. Just saying. But yeah, no, Bonds was unbelievable. One player that really caught my eye too, Juan Gonzalez of the Rangers. 98, I think he won the MVP, but regardless, this dude put up 35 homers 7 times between 92 and 01. It's insane. Just to go on a tear like that. He had 157 RBIs in 98 when he won. You just don't see numbers like that anymore, and we're both so fortunate to fall in love with baseball in such an era.
If you were a baseball fan now.
If you were a baseball fan, I feel like between like 2008 and 2013, like now it's finally like picking up, like things are changing. I feel like
it was
a rough patch.
It was rough because of what you were used to, yeah. You know, and then it became. I mean, now we have, I think, the best player ever.
All around, Trout. Mike Trout is, kid is unbelievable.
One of them in Bryce Harper.
Yeah, he's not Mike Trout, but he's unbelievable.
I mean, we definitely
That's have, a sweet swing. When you hear that ball come off that man's back, you're like, whoa.
We have stars now in baseball who are worthy of these accolades.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, like, it's never going to be what it was. The Maguires, the yeah. Sosa's, like, you know, these home run races of 60, 62, 65, like, it's just something that I wish that we could see because I think.
Well, I mean, Judge and Stanton.
It would save baseball.
Last year, they were up there. I think Stanton was in the 50s. Was Judge? I think Judge got capped at like 49. I think.
Or something like that. Stanton was. I think Stanton had 50.
Did he have like 57?
Yeah, I mean, Stanton was close, but like, it's 58, 59. But like, it. I mean, it's just something that like, I don't think we'll ever see again because of the rules. And I think if the rules. I'm not saying to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Major League Baseball legalize steroids, okay? Because you can't just say it's fine.
It's detrimental to your body. I mean, that's just science. Right. I mean, that's why it's not allowed.
But just don't test for it.
just you know.
Just like
turn your head like anything else. Just turn your head.
Because of all the major sports, including hockey, I think Major League Baseball is the worst at marketing its superstars.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Trout is in L.A. He's the best baseball player, talent-wise, probably ever. And I don't think as many people know who he is as people know who, you know, not even saying the best football player, like Matt Ryan. People don't know who like, if you don't know who Mike Trout is, and I'm saying Matt Ryan, and you know who Matt Ryan is, the quarterback of the Falcons, then that's the problem with Major League Baseball.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like where it's at, though. I think that, I mean, look at the Yankees. I know the Yankees just spend how much money on Stanton, but you look at their team.
Jeter gave him. By the way, Jeter overrated.
Not overrated, and I hate that remark, because Derek Jeter, he was, he's just like a cornerstone for baseball. 100%. But whatever. You could talk about his fielding percentage all day. Nobody cares. We talk about the personality in the man, just the passion, and that's what made Derek Jeter. I mean,
I would love
Derek Jeter. He was the face of baseball at the end of his career.
I think if Derek Jeter one time said, A-Rod is, I like A-Rod, and A-Rod is good for the Yankees, then A-Rod's career would be very different. But Derek Jeter never accepted A-Rod because he was jealous of him, and A-Rod switched
positions. A-Rod would have been a better
A-Rod
shortstop.
A-Rod was a better shortstop.
He is a better shortstop. Everyone
A-Rod knows that. Switched his position for Jeter, and Jeter never, ever, ever gave him the love that he deserved.
I think he might have if there was. But think about this. Derek Jeter got behind the scenes. He wasn't where we were. He was in the locker room. He might have saw what was going on. I'm sure. It bothers me so much when people act as on the team today act like they had no idea. You had every single clue in the world. I guarantee you saw it. It definitely wasn't concealed. Like, he knew what was going on, and I don't know. That's why
there were so many Yankees at that time.
I think of, like,
Giambi.
Oh, for sure.
Posada.
A-Rod came in what, 08?
Pettit, everybody's favorite boy. Pettit. 09? Like, everybody, you know.
Yeah.
No, A-Rod came to the Yankees in 04.
Yeah.
No, A-Rod came to the Yankees in 03, 04, because there was a botched trade that would have sent Manny to the Rangers and A-Rod to the Red Sox. Can you imagine if A-Rod went to the Red Sox and it was Ortiz, A-Rod, like, I mean...
A-Rod,
I mean,
just said it this year. He wished he went to the Mets. But, you know, the coupon Wilpons will never...
But, A-Rod is an enigma in himself of the kind of person that he is. Like,
I mean, the picture of him kissing himself in the mirror just sums up who A-Rod is in one picture. I mean, that's who he is as a man. He loves himself. I love myself. That's A-Rod. That's about him.
Yeah, no, I mean... As far as baseball records go, it sucks because I think Mike Trout, at his age, is not going to reach the milestones that people would need to see to consider him a great of all time, even though we, as baseball fans, see him and know that he's probably the best player ever.
Yeah.
Like, a good friend of mine who doesn't listen to this podcast, Matty Szymanski.
He doesn't listen to the podcast?
No, he doesn't like it because we open beers and take hits of Jules.
Good old anti-alcohol, Matty. Yeah,
no, that throws him
love
off.
Love you, Matt. But I do.
Trout is turning 27 this year. And he's got 220... He's turning 27 in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's just not feasible for him to
reach and some he's got 225 home runs. He's got a little over 1,000 hits, 600 something RBIs, and like the all-time records just aren't something that are really that possible with him, which sucks because he's the guy right now that can get people to watch baseball, and he's going to be somebody who in the long run is remembered as not that, you know, it's just going to be good. You're going to look at those numbers and be like, well, that's Wade Boggs' numbers, or, you know, that's, you know, Wade Boggs has 3,000 hits. I don't think Mike Trout will get 3,000 hits. You know, I think it's just going to be somebody who is, like, in the middle of the pack of the all-time greats, and it sucks because he is truly one of the...
Clearly, you're pretty high on him, but I will say this. Trust me, I played competitive baseball for years. When I was playing in travel leagues, the best of the best in Long Island, not to brag or anything, but... I was never where the kids I played were. Like, I was good, but I would see kids on... They had sponsored teams, like the Marucci Titans. They're sponsored by a bat brand, for those of you who aren't familiar with Marucci. That's pretty big. It's substantial. I would see kids who, when we were in ninth grade, there's a kid from Shoreham Wading River who just blew up. Like, blew up. Got huge, monstrous, and the kid ended up going to Miami. I mean, it was like, what did he do that I did? Oh, that's what he did. So, I mean, the thing with Mike Trout that people will say, and I honestly, I don't want to believe it because he's such a put-his-nose-down kind of guy, let's play baseball, nothing else but. I think there is a strong possibility he was doing something prior to going into the MLB. And, I mean, look at the guy's build. I mean, I'm not trying to be weird about it. But
I think I can read steroid people.
They say the testosterone, for whatever reason it is, I'm not a scientist, it probably sounds wrong as hell for all I know, but it goes to your traps, the neck muscles first before anything, and that is just, you know, a true sign of somebody doing steroids. Look at Mike Trout. The guy has traps like Godzilla.
This is the first I'm hearing you ever say that. Do you think Mike Trout is on something?
I don't think anymore, but I think he was on something, stabilized, and kept working out hard. I think he took the proper off cycle. I think he did everything he needed to do to maintain whatever gains he made as a kid and just keep going from there.
I think he was.
I don't want to believe it. I don't. I like my draft.
He was drafted in the first round of 09, and he didn't make his debut until 2011.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad that he was a 26th pick. Like, that is unbelievable. That he dropped to 26.
If you look at that draft of people that went before him,
I think, like, Randall Gertruck was, like, ahead of him. Like, dudes like that.
But, like, the fact that, like, there in my head should have been no reason that he wasn't starting in 2009, 2010 the way Bryce Harper was when he was drafted. Like, you could say the same thing about Harper in terms, you know.
Did Harper just rise through the ranks of the minors? Like, people don't talk about what they did in the minors.
I don't think Harper really spent that much time in the minors. I mean, in high school, he graduated high school early to go play in Nevada Junior College, and he was hitting 600
foot. Yeah, the video of him in Comerica, is that what it's called?
Comerica Park.
He's hitting 500-foot bombs.
He was.
Remember, he was a catcher too. They showed like his catcher. Pop time.
He was a catcher.
Yeah, I mean, and he has an arm
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I remember we were in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And he was 16. We were 12. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I remember I brought it into school, being like, "Look at this guy. He's hitting 590-foot home runs. He's throwing 96 miles an hour as a pitcher. He's going to be the greatest player ever."
He definitely has a course to become that. I mean,
I don't. Oh my god! I don't know what we did wrong along the way. I had the best bat in BESR history,
dude. We
BESR
played
12. BESR 12.
The bat. I think that was also the issue. Like, we should have been. Kids should be playing with wood bats, man. They shouldn't be playing with something they're never going
to
use.
Man, the
really
bat I had would bend like a motherfucker, and that would send the ball from Matathok to Kachog. That was the best bat ever made. And then our eighth grade coach was using it for batting practice and threw it through. Like, he threw it through, but he was using it for batting practice. Somebody fucked up a play and he threw it through the fence. Like, he threw it and then it somehow managed to go through the fence, scratched all over, and just ruined the bat. And it was never the same. But that bat was just like an unbelievable bat. I mean, you go through the bat history, the Stealths, the Vexums, the Exogrids. Those bats from the BESR days.
Two favorite had to be. I mean, when I was a little kid, the Vexum, the blue handle. I had this bat, the black barrel with the blue lettering, or white lettering with blue, like, to finish it off. Beautiful bat. Then the Exogrid in my later years, when it was still BESR. I honestly can't say I ever had a BB core that I was a fan of. Like, that, I had such high expectations because the bats were going. I was hitting balls miles in ninth grade. I was like, "Whoa, I'm gonna be good." Then they switched. I was like, "Oh wow, I'm really not that good at baseball."
Yeah, then they switched to BB cord.
I'm
like,
really
not
yet at all. I really gotta get an ego check here. But yeah, man, those were the fucking days. I miss it. I'm glad we got experience. I think as decorated as it was with just being fraudulent in terms of steroids and juiced up bats, we saw the better days of baseball. And I mean, that's what made me so passionate about it. I mean, if we were born in 04 and we had to live between 08 and 13, I think we would have been bored out of our minds and we'd be playing, I think we'd be fiddling sticks. I mean, like, we'd be playing lacrosse with the rest of Long Island.
Football is my favorite sport, but I mean, when I was that age, when baseball was king, that was, you know, I mean, football took a backseat. I mean,
football did take a backseat. I mean, my parents didn't want me playing it, for one, because my dad did, and he always said, like, it's the... My mom, too. I mean, she has her master's in psychology and, like, neuroscience, too, or something. She took classes for that and said, yeah, like, head trauma, like, that is not good. I mean, look at what's going on today. I mean, that's a totally different story. We'll save for another podcast. But, yeah. Hey, man, we could always bring up your stat line that you love to boast that... Let me see if I get this right.
My running back
Owen was the running back. I mean, this was on the other podcast.
I was a center my entire life.
3 carries, 24 yards. That's an average of 8. You don't put up stats like that anymore. You hate to see it. Nowadays, who runs like that? Jerome Bettis and Owen Finnegan. Nobody else.
I mean, Adrian Peterson never met those numbers. 8 a pop.
Anything else we got to add here? I got to get going. I'm gonna catch a train.
How do you feel about living with me?
Living with Owen, I mean, you know, there's some kinks we gotta work out, but it's been great so far. I mean, he's entertaining, he's a funny guy. I mean, I don't know if you're fishing for compliments here.
Listen up.
Whatever it takes, you know, to get you on your high horse, I guess, but the boost of confidence. But yeah, it's been good. I mean, just keep on at it. Whatever, I'm trying to help you out here. Just, you know, do what's best. Get your life in order, organization, keep priorities, you know, prioritize correctly. Don't do dumb shit first. Do the smart shit first. That's most important. I mean, spend your money on this, not that. That's all I could give to you, Owen. We've talked long hours.
Anybody, if you had to say something to somebody who was like me to get their shit together, what would you say?
What would I say? I mean, everyone's a different case. Everyone had a different background. I mean, yours is definitely
but a lazy
a
person
general
who's had a
if you don't do it now in your 20s and get your act together, the rest of your life you're gonna be so in the dirt. Like, you gotta do it now. I know it sucks, school, but, like, whatever, be lazy, whatever, that's fine, that's your choice, but if you don't do it now, by the way, listeners, little announcement for those of you who do listen, I think I finally coerced Owen, he might be going back to school, and I think he's making the absolute right choice, so,
little round of applause,
I think we got him going back, comment in whatever, you know, the comment section after you listen, whatever he does with this. I don't do social media, but please enforce that idea, because I think he was, I told him teaching. I mean, share your thoughts. I think he'd be an amazing teacher. Brilliant kid. Read his blogs. The kid could goddamn write. I mean, chase the dreams of going into acting, but you got to hedge it with something else. And I think you're making the absolute right choice by going back to school.
Yeah, so stay tuned for the...
back to school with them. The first day.
The O-Show takes college pods.
College.
Coming.
Natty Lights. It's been great. This is my first actual podcast where I don't have to hear Connor Anderson talk about how much better than he is at, you know, being a military man. Kidding. All the respect and love to him.
No, don't respect. Don't do that.
Dude, why? Connor is a staple in my life, okay? I love that kid.
Anthony, thanks for stopping by.
Hey.
Even though we've lived together for the past 2 months and
we haven't potted. Honestly, I was a little fearful at first. I hate my speaking voice, and I apologize to all those listening. I hate it. It's like my one thing that I'm self-conscious about. So I apologize for, like, the raspiness, whatever it is that I got going on. It's not great.
The person who loves telling you how he feels hates his speaking voice. That's interesting.
Hate it. Can't change it. But it is what it is. But don't judge me for it.
See you on the voice. I'll check back in at 11.
Love you guys.
Thanks for coming by.
Yo, we done served till I die.
Okay. New player circle.
As a matter of fact, it's gonna kill me, bitch. Cause you ain't.
Tell him, shout it.
So get high.
Tell them Weezy.
Bop, bop, or get low.
Yeah.
If I don't do nothing, I'm a ball. I'm counting all day like the clock on the wall. Now go and get your money, little duffel bag boy. Say go and get your money, little duffel bag boy. Get money. I ain't never ran from a nigga, and I damn sure ain't about to pick the day to start running. Look, honey. I ain't never ran from a nigga, and I damn sure ain't about to pick the day to start running. From a nigga, and I damn sure ain't about to pick the day to start running. Get money.
Ain't nothing to a boss, we ballin'. When you see us, we hear them haters callin'. They too far off to see us, unless they got their glasses on. Get your
bifocal game. Class is non-session.